to another episode of Write Now, a podcast on the craft and business of writing, presented to you by Broadleaf Writers Association, based in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Dawn Major, a board member with Broadleaf Writers Association. I'm joined here with Annell Garcia. It's Gerson or is it Gerson? I always say Gerson. So I had this moment of panic moment. I'm like, I've been saying Gerson this whole time.
You are correct.
All right. So a little bit of background, not a little bit. This is a great background about Annell. Annell is a former Cobb County Middle School language arts teacher. In 1998, she and her husband founded Bookmiser, an independent bookstore located in East Cobb. Great store. Annell is a member, and this is very impressive. Annell is a member of the American Booksellers Association, the Southern Independent Booksellers Alliance, Roswell Reed's Executive Committee, and Atlanta Author Series, and assists with author coordination for festivals all over Atlanta, including the Carrollton Writers Guild, Johns Creek Literary Fair, and Delonica Literary Festival, which I want to talk to you about that another time because I'd really like to get in on that one. I have a lot of friends that do that one. She is the founder of the North Atlanta Author Series Initiative, which works to bring national authors to North Atlanta suburbs. As a long life believer in the transformative power of connecting with story, over the last 28 years, she has presented hundreds of authors in the Atlanta community. I like this. And Annell's definition of success is putting the right book in the right hands at the right time. So that's just great. I love that. And that feeds right into what our conversation tonight, because I want to talk about authors, how to understand how to get their books into the right hands, whether it's a publisher or a bookseller or a reader, but particularly in this case, with an independent bookstore like Bookmiser. So to start off, how do you decide what books to stock?
First of all, thank you, Dawn, for inviting
me. Oh, you're welcome.
And I do want to start off by saying every independent bookstore is different. You know, they take on the personality of the people who own them and the people who frequent them. So any information, advice that I offer tonight is going to be my perspective, what works for us, what I have seen in my 27 years as a bookstore owner and seller. Consider that authors and readers out there when you're viewing this. So you ask the question, how do I decide what to put in my store? That's an excellent question, and it has many prongs to the answer.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
So
we could talk about that question all night long, probably.
Exactly. So I would say, and I'm not sure that any of these is greater than the other. They all weigh pretty equally. But I have a remarkably well-read staff who works in a bookstore, who work in a bookstore because they love books and they love to read. Mm-hmm. So I empower them. Everyone in our store can purchase books. They can put it on the order, and then their responsibility.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's different. That's kind of different, isn't it?
Very different, because we are very small. And so I feel like each of them has their own passion, has their own, you know, they have customers that specifically come in wanting their recommendations. So great. You've read this book, you put it on the order, and it's your responsibility to hand sell it. And so they all have that power, if you
want. So they're really invested in that book when it gets to the shelf, because they've read it, and then they could talk to whoever comes in about it. That's neat. Now, I always see those shelves where it's, you know, this person's pick or that person's pick, or like, I don't know, like read of the month or whatever, but I didn't know that it went to the extent. I guess it's different. You don't know if other bookstores are allowing them to actually purchase those books on behalf of the store, but that's intriguing. I had no idea about that.
Yep. So every day, you know, they we don't place an order every day, but we do, especially with Ingram, most every day. They can load anything on, and there's a little place for notes, and they can put, you know, Jen This is for stock, and it's Jen ordered it, or this is, so we know when it comes in. Oh, we're going to put Jen's sticker in this one to let people know that this is one of her picks, and then obviously when she's there, she can be the advocate for that book. But yeah, again, because we're small, and sometimes there's only one person, maybe two people there in the store, they have ownership of helping decide what goes on the shelves.
Oh,
So that's very,
you guys are a family then.
we really are. I call us the Book Miser family, and it's for real. The second thing is obviously publishers. Your inboxes get inundated all the time. And I'll be honest, sometimes it's the subject line that catches me, and I'll click open to read about it. But there are days when I'll get 200 of those in my
Oh
inbox.
my God.
It's kind of a lot.
Because I was gonna say, oh, I know exactly how you feel because I'm an editor at Southern Literary Review, and I get all these requests for reviews or interviews, but nothing like
Yeah,
how do you
every
beat through
small
all that?
press. How do well, you just do the best you can.
That subject line is extremely important.
It is.
Note to
And
self.
this is going to sound silly, but I've started doing it as well. When I send out an email, especially to my book clubs, I'll put an icon in there, because then when I'm going back through my emails, I'll know, oh, that's a book club, email, because it's got the book icon. And when a publisher puts a little something, a little image in that subject line, somehow, some reason, it sticks with me that, oh, that's the book that had the image. I'm going to go back and look at that one.
We're so visual. I think it's because we're so visual. It's like
Yeah, not everybody is, but I definitely, visual is
I think
me.
our this whole society is just visual. I think you always have to have something that, entices them. Though I want
Yes.
to ask you this because how I met you was via an email. I won't name names, okay? But I met you because when I got my book came out and I had the sell sheet and I started emailing local bookstores and wasn't really getting much of a response. And then I got your email, and it was this really long email, which was great, explaining how like the terms of the publisher, what bookstores look for. And I mean, and that's a whole nother subject than the contracts. There's nothing to do with the contract. There's no legal advice. Let me just put this out there. There's no legal advice. The contract is different than what the publisher is doing with the bookstores. And it had never occurred to me that that might prevent me from getting into indie stores. Some publishers are, I guess, only care about the beast, Amazon. I want to be everywhere. So, not to put you on the spot, I didn't tell you I was going to do this, but I pulled up some terms here and I was going to see like wholesale purchases. So what you see when you go online, as a bookseller, when you're going to buy a book, what are you looking for? And so I just pulled out a couple of the terms and I was going to see if this is something that like matches up and only Bookmiser, if this matches up with something that you would agree to in order to buy a book. So here's one term, 50% discount plus shipping and handling, payment in advance. Is that the norm?
No.
Okay, I'm looking at my pen. No, I'm just kidding. So, what are the normal discount prices?
Okay, so if
Percentages,
we have
rather.
time, I'll go into a whole retail little math thing. But books are odd in that they aren't sold at Keystone, which is 50%. If you've been in retail at any time in your life, you know that in the past, if you bought something for $5, you sold it for 10. If you bought it for 10, you sold it for 20. I don't know why, but
I mean,
books
I sold the things for like 200%.
well, that's yes, now.
It depends
But
on what you have for
back
you.
in the day, everything was Keystone. Now, though, we're an international global economy. We get things from overseas at much less than, what used to be
Oh, true.
pricing. So retailers can, buy it for $10 and sell it for $40. And then when they put it on sale at 50% off, they're still making Keystone.
They're still making, yeah.
But books are different. So books, other than potato chips or Fritos or Doritos are the only product I've ever come across where the manufacturer puts the price on the product and you can't change it.
That's true. It's on the back of the book. Never
Correct.
important. Yeah.
And you have very little wiggle room, unless you're Amazon, as far as what you're going to pay for it. Bookstores generally pay or get a pay between. Let me reverse it. We get between a 40 and a 45% discount, which
Okay.
means we pay 55 or 60% for the product. We don't get it for 50% off. We only get it 40, 45% off. That's our
Okay.
start. And we can, whatever in rates, whatever our costs increase for the store, we can increase the cost of our product because price is on the
Because
product.
it's already stamped there.
Correct.
Wow,
So,
that's
the
enlightening.
economy, yes. The previous president of ABA used to say the book business is a business of pennies. And being in it for this many years, I can agree. So normal terms. Your normal independent bookstore is going to order from the big publishers. But each publisher has minimums, and whether it's dollar minimums or number of book minimums. And it's hard every day or several times a week, if you're small, to meet the minimums for all of those five. So
Yeah.
we depend heavily on the only remaining United States distributor. Well, there are actually two, but the one that most everyone uses is Ingram. The other
Ingram.
one is Bookazine.
Okay.
So, but most everybody uses Ingram. And so terms with Ingram are 40%, depending upon your volume, you may get 41 or 42.
Okay.
Ingram offers free shipping for orders of 20.
That was my yeah. Shipping
That's
and handling, that was one of the
huge.
terms. You didn't.
That's huge. So
That is
when,
huge.
yes. So when I'm looking at to order a book, the main publishers, it's all going to be the status quo. But
Yeah.
independent publishers is where you run into issues. So, what I look for is I want a regular discount, which is 40, 41, 42%, depending upon my the quantity that I order and the discount that they give me. And
Okay.
free shipping is automatic as long as you meet your minimum. And it needs to be returnable.
Yeah, that was the other term on here. No returns.
Yes.
Plus the other this is an interesting one. 3.2% fee if you use PayPal or credit that goes back on the bookseller. This is just set up to not sell to book independent bookstores at all. And
Yeah.
what about this? What about prepayment is required for, I'm just reading off this. Prepayment is required for all orders. No books will be shipped until payment is completed. Is that normal?
No, not with the big publishers, not with Ingram, but for independent small presses, yes. You
Because they don't want
understand.
to print it and send it and then not get their money.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the same boat we are. They're tiny and they're trying to make a profit. So they have to do what's strategically profitable for them. And independent stores have to do what's strategically profitable for them. And often those two things clash.
They don't mix.
So one common thing, and I probably sent this to you because I think if I remember correctly, this was true of bystanders,
The blazers.
that you had a 25% discount on that book. Is that right?
The terms have changed over the past few
Okay.
years. I can't keep up with it because the terms that I was looking at like today versus what I started off with years ago, a few years ago, are different. I don't remember if it was 25%. I do remember that the minimum book purchase was 10, whereas now I looked and the minimum purchase is 20, which is crazy. Like, I don't think who's going to buy. I'm a new writer face. Well, I'm not a new writer, but like that's my first book. No one really knows me. Who's gonna buy 10 of my books that cannot be returned? Unless, if it was an event, I could see that and then you could return it or whatever. But
That's why it's really important to get your book with Ingram, because when I order your book from Ingram, I don't have to order 10. I can order five, and I can order five of To Kill a Mockingbird and five of, The Boyfriend, and five, I can order ones if I want to, as long as my order equals 20. So it gives me great flexibility
Yeah.
to stock my store in an economical way and not have to deal with every independent publisher out there. I tried that.
It just
It
it takes it away. It's just easier.
And then you have to figure out their return policy, and sometimes they don't take returns or they charge you a restocking fee,
Restocking.
and then you have to pay ship. You paid shipping to get the books, then you pay a restocking fee, then you pay shipping to send the books back. You lost money. So the book needs to be returnable, and it needs to have a regular discount. Regular meaning at least 40%,
And the shipping and handling needs to
and
be
shipping
part
and
of it.
handling included.
And and then the minimum thing. So, I mean, how much, let's say you were going through an independent, like a, not Ingram, how many books would you, I mean, this is probably not a, I'm not phrasing this question really well. How many books of an author would you normally buy if you just, if you had the choice of just going through that and not have to go a minimum? I mean, how many, like, so let's say you have my book on there, would you have two or three? I mean, is that what's typical to see on the shelves?
Yeah, about two or three of a
Yeah.
book,
That's what I thought.
and then we again my staff orders. We build our order every day, so at the end of the day we look at everything we sold and bill. If we need more, we go ahead and put it on the order for the next day. But here's the thing: we look at how long we've had the book. If we've had the book for over 6 months. Actually, we use more 3 months as a gauge. If we've had it 3 months and this is the first time we've sold it, we're probably not going to reorder it.
Yeah, well, why would
So,
you?
yeah.
But how long do you give it to sell before you think, oh, okay, I'm going to return this book?
Way too long.
Yeah, because you're, oh, that's sweet though. Thank you. You want to give it a fighting chance.
Listen, we just, as you know, we just had this fire in our store, and
Yes.
our next door. So we've packed up every single book in the
You are
store,
kidding
and
me.
I
So
have
you had to take everything out because of like the damage.
yes, because of the fact it was a lithium fire, the smoke, soot got on everything. So by law, they have to purify, cleanse it in a certain way. So the sheetrock had to come off the walls. So in
Okay.
order to get to the sheetrock, they had to take off the shelves, which were
And
custom
all the
built to fit.
books.
Yes. So that meant all the books had to come down. So I bring that up only because my section for Georgia authors, independent, lead published. I had over 125 books, and some of them I've had for 6 years.
Oh, you're so kind because
But
I, that's so sweet. Oh my God.
yeah.
Usually that section is very small. And
Well, but you're an Atlanta
wow,
author. How
that's
can you
so
but be?
sweet.
My Atlanta authors. How can I not,
Yeah, you're so supportive of the
So
community.
anyway,
It's
so
amazing.
there they were. And so I packed them up, and we'll put them back out when we
My
reopen.
God. We just did a major renovation. We're gone for a month. And because we were having all the floors, putting all this tile in. So everything had to come off the walls that we're painting to. Everything had to come off the shelves. So I had to take all my books out. And that's when you evaluate. In my opinion, it's hard for me to get rid of a book, but apparently it's harder for you.
Well, because I'll say, oh, I remember that event, or I remember I met them, or remember when they came in the store, and so they all hold memories.
That was really
But
sweet, though. So what
anyway,
about,
so
this is something, an option that I've seen that I've done before. I'm not sure that, I don't think you do this, but what do you think about consignment agreements? So my problem with consignment is that I've done this a few times and then I forgot, like, where did I put that book? And I have to go through emails and some of them I just haven't gotten any money back on. Maybe it never sold, but I just can't keep up with it. But you guys, do you guys do consignment?
I used to. I used to do that, and I had a folder for every author, and I had a sheet, and I recorded everything, and you signed a contract, and I did it quarterly. I reconciled quarterly, and I'd send you an email. Sorry, we didn't sell any books, or we sold two books, and here's your check. I would spend days reconciling all that. But this is what I do now. And again, everybody does it. So you want to put your book in my store? Great. Give me a book. Hopefully, it has a shelf talker with it. I'll put it on my shelf. If it sells, I'll contact you and I'll buy another one from you if that's the only way I can get it. If not, I'll get it from Ingram. But I use the same criteria as I do for every other book. If it sold in 3 months, I'm going to buy another one. If it didn't, it's going to sit there. It's going to be what you offered
It's
me for 6 years.
gonna sit there for 6 years. And then there's gonna be a fire, and then you're like, oh, but I remember.
But I don't do the, I'm gonna keep six copies and I'm gonna pay you every quarter. No, just give me one, and that's sort of your marketing budget for Bookmiser is one book. You give it to me, and I put it on my shelf. And usually the new ones get to be faced out and front and center and all of that. And then if it sells, great. I just keep ordering it. If it doesn't, then I don't.
Well, that makes sense. What was I gonna ask you about this? Oh, this is something I encountered recently at a local store. I didn't have an event, but we had like a meeting. I'm in Horror Writers Association too, and I thought, you know how authors always keep like a box of books in their trunk, like
Good
always.
idea. You
Oh,
never
I don't
know.
know any author that doesn't, but anyway, like anytime there's a chance to sell my book, here we go. Let me get out my trunk. So I was like, hey, do you guys want to, you had a local section, would you be interested in stocking my book? And they're like, sure. And they bought it outright. They bought
Wow,
two
that's
copies.
awesome.
I was like, one's like, is that, do you ever do that at all? Or is that, was that the old way of doing things?
For me, I used to. I was so proud of everyone for writing the and said, how can I support you? After a while, you just
You're giving up the money ahead of time, and you might not even sell
and
it.
it sits there for 6 years. So, and anybody will tell you, we just had a lecture about turn about book turn and how many times everything in your store should turn. And I said, well, I guess I failed that test, but
Oh, see, this is all so enlightening to me. Even the terminology is like, what do you mean book turn? So you're turning the shelves, like sort of like if someone changes the window display. Is that what you're talking about?
Right, but you there's depending upon your industry, obviously, like for a grocery store, you need to turn your inventory like every 7 days or something. But for retail stores, there are industry standards as to how many times you should sort of totally sell out of everything and be restocking everything. We were told for books it should be three times a year. You've
Oh, that's
cycled
not
through
too bad.
everything. That's like what 120 days you keep something. But again, I'm a new and used bookstore, so it kind of doesn't apply to me.
So is that more for the new books then that you're doing the turn on?
But even
You
for our
ever
new book, yeah.
did you ever this is, I'm gonna admit something. This is not, it wasn't yours or anything, it was the store. Well, the store in Decatur, they have a local section, but they had put my book, because it was about the bystander. That was thematically, it was about the bystander effect, but it's not psychological at all. It was in the wrong section. So I moved my book over to the right section. But how often, I know there's authors who like their book is not in the bookstore, but they're like, oh, okay, I'm going to sneak that book in there, even though you can't even sell it really because you don't have a price on it. But they sneak their book. Do you ever find any sneakies in there?
Not that I know of, not that I know of. I don't think so.
Or they put their
I'll
book
be on the
front and
lookout.
center and put someone else's book.
Well, okay, so I have to say our database is pretty smart. If you scan a book, even if it's never been even if you've never entered it in your inventory,
Yeah.
it knows it because you're scanning it, you must have it. So it pops up, it like
Oh.
auto-populates with information, and all you do is click OK. So we might have had some, but I didn't know because our POS
Wow.
system is pretty smart.
I'm like, this is bad behavior from authors, I suppose. But on that subject, let's talk about etiquette. So, okay, for instance, are you comfortable with authors just cold calling you, or walking in the store and going and trying to market their book, emails? What is your preference in terms of an author reaching out to you, or a publisher, or a publicist?
So that is a million-dollar question. And I have been asked by authors that before, and I've given it a lot of thought. On the one hand, I love, meeting an author, and you come in and you tell me your story, and authors are storytellers, and I suck that up. So then it's easier for me to remember them and their story when I've heard it firsthand. On the other hand, life in the bookstore is pretty crazy. And, between the phone and customers and an order and a book club going on, it doesn't always work when an author just walks in the door.
And if you got 20 of those people every single day.
And frankly, emails again, because I get so many, unless something just stands out. Unless, like in the tagline, unless they specifically say Atlanta author.
Oh,
But if
thank
I have
you.
to dig for that information, there's just so many that come in, and I don't really have time to read them all. So what I'm going to get to is, I have found that the most effective thing that you can do is mail me a book. A little note says, "Hi, Anel, I went to your event recently with Don Major and loved
You know me, you
how
know me, you know me.
you
Suck my book.
exactly. I loved how you did this. Here's a copy of my book. Here's the shelf talker. I'd love it if you put it on your shelf. And let's talk if it sells or if you think it's right for you. You've made my life so easy. I have everything I need to sell your book. I just put it on the shelf, put it with your shelf talker. I file your note away that has your contact information, and maybe I get to read it, or maybe somebody buys it and reads it and say, "Hey, you should really have this author in," or, "Hey, this I really enjoyed this book, then I'm going to order it some more." But truly, for me, that works best. And it's interesting because I realized the other day that actually that's what ABA does. ABA, if you remember, the American Booksellers Association sends you this box, and my employees just go crazy over the white box and the red box every month because it has ARCs in it, advanced reader copies. And it'll have a
And it
little,
comes in a red or a white box.
well, it's got a label, and we call them the
Oh, I
white
was
box,
like,
the
okay,
white
so
one.
the goodie box is coming.
Yes. And literally they'll all hover around
Oh,
it.
gosh.
But they're ARCs, and they take the ARCs and then they read them and review them and then decide, they put them in what we call our holding bucket list, to order them when they become available. So that is sort of my preferred method of getting books is a sort of an offshoot of that. Even if it's your ARC, send me your ARC. And, with your little note, and let me, in my own time, in my own way, look at it, review it, evaluate it, and then decide, to carry it or not. On the phone, again, it's usually pretty
Busy.
disjointed because people are coming up, and we're a small team, so we're, usually needed to help customers that are there. Emails get lost in the flurry
Yeah.
of
So
email.
sending the book. Okay.
Yeah, certainly.
I was thinking it was going to be a whole email thing, because it's different as a like an editor. Like, for instance, like people get my address and I'll get books, and I'm like, did I say I was going to review this book? And I'm like, I don't usually review poetry collections. Okay. Though, albeit though, I'll say this. I had someone send me a book, a poetry collection, and I loved it. And I emailed the editor, and I was like, "You snuck that one in." He goes, "Yes, I'm sorry, I snuck that one in." I'm like, "Well, I do love it, but going forward, I am not the poetry person." But no, we rely really on emails, and on that email, we want, the cover image, the author's headshot, a brief bio, a sell sheet, which I think the sell sheet would be kind of like your shelf talker. Is that what you're saying? With the shelf talker, I imagine it like when you go to the liquor store or like, and all the wines are, they're rated like this, and they have a little thing that says something about the wine, rich notes, and blah, 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 blah. So I was kind of thinking like, do they actually send you like a little, like, how long is that little shelf talk thing that you're referring to?
Sorry, my cat just jumped up.
Oh, it's
Well,
okay.
they kind of, I think you've probably seen them. You can either stick it out of a book like this, and it just has a
Yeah,
slight,
it hangs out of the book.
or they come like this that you bend, and you actually, so
Put that.
the book is sitting on top,
So
and then
you don't
this,
have to do anything because you already have that.
yeah, it's all done.
This
It's all
is
done.
all news to me.
So, one of your questions further down, and I'm sorry if I'm jumping ahead, but this applies
No,
to
it's
it.
okay.
It's like, what was your exact question? It's something about how do you make something about being successful, or what advice I had.
Oh, advice about like what authors, that's one, like what advice would you give authors for one? And one specifically I want to get in there before we go is there, what do you think is the standard? So, okay, my book is under contract. Should I start reaching out to you how far in advance? Or, I mean, I guess you have to have the arc though. You can't do it.
Well,
That's
here's
more of a
what I would,
marketing thing.
yeah, well, I'll, yeah, that's what we're going to get to,
Okay,
this
good, good,
marketing
good.
thing. So, first thing I would do, and I'm going to give you an example. Maybe it was last summer, maybe 2 summers ago, I had a gentleman come in with his book. Great book, big publisher. He wants me to have an event at his store. We start chatting, and he tells me he lives right down the street. He's lived there for 18 years. I said, "Oh, really?" He says, "Yeah, and I never knew you were here."
How is that possible?
Exactly. Like, so we've been here 27 years. You live a mile down the road. You're in Arthur.
You drive by the bookstore.
Presumably, you like books. We're on the main drag, and you didn't know we were here. So, first piece of advice. Go to your local bookstores, visit them, support their author events. Not only do you meet fellow authors, and you know, Dawn, how important that author connections are, how wonderfully y'all help each other and support each other. I've
That's what
seen it
Broadleaf is all
firsthand.
about, or building a little community.
It's a beautiful, beautiful relationship, but you need that with bookstores too. You can't just live a mile down the road for 18 years, and then now when you need
My book
something,
is out.
you want to be my best friend.
We're besties now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that doesn't mean you have to go in there every week or every day, or but just, let them know early on while you're writing it. I'm an author. This, and here's my daughter. She wants a book on whatever. Okay. And then, you can do your Christmas shopping there instead of online. You can, and visit. There are getting to be more and more small bookstores again. So don't just stick to one, go to many, go to across town, because, when your book comes out, you're not just going to want to go to the bookstores in your community. You need to go all over Atlanta. So get out of your writing bubble and introduce yourself to booksellers. Support them, and they in turn will know you and be happy to support you.
Don't be a greedy gut. Don't be a greedy gut.
That's
Well,
right.
I mean, I'll leave from that. As I've been, re how long I've been with Southern Literary Review? Southern Literary Review's been around, like going on close to 24 years, which is unbelievable for a journal reader to last that long. Nowadays, they pop up 1 month and they're gone the next. And I got all of my blurbs because not because I'm like, hey, I'm going to write this review if you give me a blurb, but just meeting different authors. And I'm like, oh, this kind of, I think they might like my book if they write like this. This is their genre. And then I met them that way. So it's like, sometimes you're like, oh my God, I got to do this thing for another author. I got to go. I don't feel like going out there tonight. I'm tired, but it is really, it all comes back. I really do believe in karma when it comes to this industry for sure.
Absolutely. And you never know who you're going to meet at that event. Friend of mine was at an event and met who's the guy that did one of our events actually, and met who's the guy that did Forrest Gump? Winston Groom. He's passed away now, but she met Winston Groom at the literary at the Milton Literary Festival. And yes, and he did a review for her book.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Score. That's great. I've been to
Yes.
the Milton one. That in my early little baby author days, when I was getting my MFA, I think my director was like, hey, they're doing this, I think it was Milton, during this festival. And they at that point, I don't know if they you guys if they do this anymore, they had, I think it was from like 5th to 8th graders, and I was a judge, and they gave out a little, yeah, they gave out a little scholarship. And those kids, like, I mean, one, they were nervous, like the girl, I mean, the girl who won, she was just like shaking, like she couldn't believe that that happened to her. And I'm like, oh, a little baby author in the making. And that's so validating. And then her parents were talking to me. I'm going off subject, but I'm like, that's what this
Well,
is all about. This is what this conversation is about, community and what we
that's
need to help
exactly
each
right.
other.
And were you with Reinhardt and Bill
I
Walsh's
was
group?
Bill Walsh.
Yes, I don't know how I had, well, that's another thing. See, I don't know
See
how I
that,
met
and
him.
I graduated in 2019, so that must have been 2017. I mean, that's how long
2017
ago it
and
was.
2018.
Yeah, and then I did the you guys invited me to do a novel idea, and then it was like, and then like you really do run into the same people over and over. The Southern writing world is so small; it's unbelievably small. Well, I want to ask you a couple more questions. We're getting towards the end of it. One of the questions I wanted to ask was, I mean, what has been the impact on your sales with ebooks and audio? How do you navigate around? Well, one, Amazon. I don't know if we even want to talk about that. Maybe we just talk about, like, have you seen any trends? What's the difference between selling books like 27 years ago versus, well, you don't, that's probably too broad of a question. Even 10 years ago, what kind of changes have you seen?
Well, let me just say, in 2008, my husband and I both quit our day jobs because we were going to do BookMiser full time and we were going to grow this empire.
The Empire, Nelson Empire.
Oh, anyway, so and the we had just moved to our Roswell store. We were in a little like 1500 square foot place. It's not a
That's
small
tiny.
shop. And we moved across the street to 5000 square feet. It was our mothership. It was
The
beautiful.
mothership.
Well, yes, it was awesome. And we're putting books on the shelves. We haven't even moved in yet. Well, first 2008, the economic crisis of that. But this man walks in with this square thing, and it was big. It was this big, and he's t showing us, touting it as the future of books. There's not going to be any paper books anymore. Everybody's going to read on this tablet. And I said, "No way. There's, a book is."
Like the Kindles.
It was an Apple, though. Apple had the
Oh,
first one.
Apple already.
It's a big old tablet, like this.
I
Anyway.
remember my Kindle first ones were like yay big.
Yes, they were smaller. Kindles were smaller, but the Apple ones originally were like a regular piece of 8x10 paper. They were big, but they were thin, and you could download a book. There weren't very many to pick from, but anyway, you could download it. And I said, no way are people going to want to read on that, because a book is all about smelling the pages and how many till the end of the chapter and, underlining or sticky notes, whatever.
I have a sticky note. I write in books. I mean, I have to. I have to.
But All that to say, how drastically and how rapidly that first, I don't remember if it was that Christmas or the next one, the Kindles were like $5.99, and then like 8 months later they were $4.99, and then $3.79, and then
Now
$1.49.
you can get, yeah,
Yeah,
they're like
and
100 bucks.
and that was huge. And especially, you know what's interesting, the biggest genre that for us that was hit was romance. Our romance readers used to come in with their notebooks and all of their list of the books by the author and the ones they were missing, and they were the first to convert because they read so fast, so many and so fast, and we used to sell book covers because they didn't necessarily want people to see the cover of what they were reading.
See, that's why they can hide with their Kindle all the
Yes.
stuff that they're
So
reading.
now nobody sees what you're reading. So that was, yeah. So we drastic. And as far as audiobooks, yes, audiobooks also, because it's in the old days you had to buy the CDs and keep track of them and they'd fall down in your car and break and whatever. But now it's so convenient and so easy.
I admit I am an audiobook fiend. I do, I'm both. I do ask for physical copies when I'm reviewing them because my Kindle's all messed up. Anyway, I just prefer to have a physical, advanced reader copy. It's just easier on the eyes because you're at the, looking at your computer all day long. But the audio, I feel like I can read quicker that way. And so, because you know why? Because you're in the car, or I walk to the grocery store and I can listen to it. But I don't think I would ever be, I would never like not, I mean, I have someone who was never go away from paper. I would never go paperless. The books I choose to have now on my bookshelf, which I'm lying about this because I'm going to put a lot of books on my bookshelf when I get them out of the boxes that I'm never going to read again. I just felt like a connection to it at one point. So I still get.
You have connections to the books too.
Oh my no, it's like an old friend. I'm like, sorry, we can't be friends anymore.
Well, on the note of audiobooks, though, for your listeners and authors or whoever, know that there is an alternative to Audible, and it is Libro FM. And you can just go to Libro FM, and you can choose whatever independent bookstore you want to as your store, and you can purchase audiobooks through them, and your independent bookstore gets the credit for that. They have great sales all the time. They just had one over the holidays. You could get a Black Friday thing. They were great audiobooks for $3.99, $4.99.
I did. I'm so
Awesome.
sorry. I feel so bad that I didn't know this. I have been like feeding the beast even more with Audible. Okay,
It's
so I'll email you after
Libro.fm.
this and send me that exact, because I didn't write that down, but maybe I can share that with some other people too. I had no idea that you guys would get the credit for it.
Yes, we get the
Okay.
credit, Libro FM, and they have great selections, great prices, great, whatever. You can get anything that you can get on Audible. And you get to pick whatever store you want to get your pro to get your credit for your purchase.
Okay. Well, so not all is lost, I guess.
No, I mean, because we get credit, or your
Yeah.
independent store gets credit. You get the audiobook and the Evil River. Maybe his next $50 million wedding gets paid for. I don't know.
Evil one does not get any. Okay, well, we are at our time. Is there anything you just are dying, burning things is something to say that you want to share?
No, not really. I'm just gosh, I feel like this went by so quickly.
It really does. And then we deviate from, like, I know I give you kind of a basic question list, but then we deviate. And that's what's good about this conversation because I've learned a lot here too. But I'm just going to say thank you so much for doing this. And I want to remind everybody that the gift got, it's time to buy gifts. So you can go to Bookmiser and buy your holiday gift there. And I don't know, do you have any events going on for Christmas or is it just.
No, actually we have a pop-up store at the moment because they've totally are gutting our store at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
But we have lots of big events coming up in January and
Okay.
February and March, and we're starting to get those posted. So, yeah, we, Stay tuned because we may be bringing a wonderful, wonderful author who's a gift to authors,
Oh.
who has a new book coming out about sentences, believe it or not. And I'll give you her initials.
I'm nerdy enough to want the
Oh, but yeah, but she, I mean, what I'm not going to acknowledge,
No, I want to know. I want
but what book is, besides On Writing, does every writer have on their bookshelf about writing, the craft of writing?
Burroughs, the Burroughs one. Oh, you're not the Stephen. No, you're thinking about Stephen King's On Writing.
Not On Writing.
Janice Rae has one out. I was thinking local.
This is older. This is
What?
older.
Older.
Older. Has to do with an animal.
The cat. Oh my God.
No, not a cat. It
Not the
flies.
cat. Not the what?
It flies.
See, I suck at trivia. This is like a
Sorry.
trivia question, and I'll get it like when we get
I
off.
know. As soon as we click up. Okay, it has to do with a bird.
I cannot think
It'll
of it. I cannot think of it.
come to you. It'll come to you. Or look
Well,
it
when we send this out and everybody be like, I know what it is, it'll come to me.
Well, tell Zach to edit this part.
Yeah, well, he like Zach. Maybe Zach will know. Hopefully, he will know. But
Anyway.
hey, this was great fun. Thank you again.
You're welcome. Thanks for the
We
invite. I
love
hope I
Bookmiser,
shed some
and
light on some things.
you gave me a lot of good information, and I got to write it down. Okay,
Oh,
now I got all this
when they're
information.
getting their contract, remember they want their books to for wholesale to be returnable, to be
Yeah.
regular discount, and of course if it's
Free
free shipping,
shipping.
right? And before you even finish your book, you need to know your marketing plan. Who's your audience and how you're going to get your book to them.
Gotcha. Well, that's good. Good advice. Okay, thank you again,
Thank you,
and have a
Don.
great holiday.
You too. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.